Hi everyone, I'm blindgeekzone.net and welcome to my very first podcast. I'm Lauren Downey, I'm 21 and I'm totally blind. I was blind from birth and I live in a little seaside town called Scarborough in the northeast of Yorkshire in England. So I didn't really know where to start when it comes to podcasting. It's something that I've been very interested in for a long time, but it's something that I've struggled to find a platform where I could kind of get my voice out and a lot of people would sort of be able to listen to it. I don't know if people will listen to it, but, you know, it's a place. The Blind Geek Zone is a place where people tend to, you know, there are a lot of visitors, and if people were going to hear my voice, I feel like it would kind of be best heard here. I've considered doing YouTube before, but honestly, my videoing skills are not up to scratch and they probably never will be. I mean, I'll give it a try, but honestly, I just don't think it'll be worth it. So I did decide to do it on here. And as it's my first podcast, I kind of want to do a little bit of an introduction, but because I don't do well if I've just been given a topic, you know, I tend to ramble on quite a bit. I tend to talk for a very, very long time, and people will just inevitably lose interest after a while because I've got so much to say, and honestly, I tend to get off on a tangent for a little, you know, I start off talking about one thing and then it just moves on to another, and, you know, I can never really get back to where I started. So I decided to do something a little bit different, and something that a few people have done before, especially on YouTube. I see it quite a bit, but I've not really seen it on anything podcast related before. It's called the Visually Impaired Person Tag, and I'm sure a few people on this site will have heard of it before, but I don't know, I just hope that this isn't copyrighted, because if it is, I mean, feel free to take it down. I'm sure someone listen to it and realize if it is, but I don't know who originally created it, so I can't really check. I just know that a lot of people on YouTube have done it before, so apologies if it is, but if it isn't, I'm just hoping that people will enjoy this, because honestly, I don't know a better way to introduce myself. Really, it's a little bit easier when I've got a specific topic to talk about, you know, it's easier because you can kind of narrow it down a bit. When it's something like this, it's a little introduction, I kind of want a bit more structure, because otherwise I'll have an hour-long podcast and I won't be able to submit it because it'd be too big. Alright, let's get started. Apologies, by the way, if you can hear my screen reader in the background. I'm using my iPad, I'm recording on my phone and I'm reading it off my iPad because it's just a lot easier. So I'm very sorry if you can hear it in the background. So, what medical condition or conditions caused you to be blind or visually impaired? So the condition that I have, I only have one condition, but it's, I'm visually impaired, but it also causes a few other issues, which I will kind of go into in a little bit of detail, but I won't talk about a lot because it's not really relevant. But the condition I have is called septo-optic dysplasia, and it's, as the name states, it is to do with the optic nerve. There are three kind of main aspects to this condition, and you kind of have to have two or more to be diagnosed. And the first one, the one that kind of affects me the most, is the optic nerve hyperplasia, and the optic nerve is very underdeveloped. It can kind of happen at different levels for different people, but for me, I can only see light. I have light perception, and that is pretty much it. The second aspect of this condition is a problem with the pituitary gland. I don't know if people really know what this is. I didn't know what it was until a couple of months ago, because I'll go into this in a little bit more detail in another video, but basically I was wrongly diagnosed with a different condition at 6 months old, and due to another medical health problem, the doctors realised that I actually had a totally different condition. But this is a story for another video. The pituitary gland is kind of like the master gland, they call it, and it controls a lot of other glands, and it kind of is, it's important for hormonal balance. My pituitary gland is underdeveloped. The gland itself is it seems to be working all right, but it has like a stem. It's kind of attached to the brain, and the stem is very stringy, and it's not working very well, and that's affecting quite a few different hormones. So, for example, my growth hormone is very low. I'm very short. I have a high level of prolactin, which isn't great, you know, but it's controllable. I'm still on the road to getting hormone therapy, hormone replacement therapy rather, but at the moment it's serious, but it's not causing any noticeable issues at the moment, so we're kind of still in this process. And then the third aspect of this condition, which I don't have, is it's kind of hard to describe. It's basically, it can result in learning difficulties, developmental delays. Learning difficulties, really, pretty much to kind of summarise it. It's something about the tissue that kind of joins the two sides of the brain together. And if you have this condition, some people with the condition are lacking in that tissue, so it can cause all sorts of issues cognitively. But I don't have this particular aspect, so I only have the two, the pituitary gland and the optic nerve hyperplasia. But yeah, more about the the diagnosis in another podcast. So the second one is, in three words, describe your vision. My vision, because it's kind of so, I don't want to say simple, but it is, it's pretty much, you know, it's light, it's light perception, that's pretty much it. But the words I'm kind of thinking about is, congenital, because I'm kind of thinking about the eye condition more than the actual vision itself, because honestly, I don't really know what to say about the vision in three words. The condition is congenital. I've had it since birth. It's not really changed at all. Consistent, because it, like I say, it doesn't change. And the third one, I'm really struggling actually to find a third word. I'm gonna have to get back to you on that, because honestly, I don't really think there's anything else to say. I kind of want to say it's complete, because I'm kind of considered to be totally blind, although I have light perception. I'm in the B1 category when it comes to things like sports and everything, so it kind of is pretty much, I when I'm talking to people, if I don't have a long time to kind of say the ins and outs of my condition, I just pretty much say I'm totally blind, because although my light perception is really helpful, excuse me, and I'm very, very grateful for it, it kind of doesn't allow me to see anything useful in terms of, you know, colours and shapes or anything like that. So although I'm very appreciative of it, I don't tend to talk about it very much. But if I don't have time, I just tend to say I'm totally blind. Okay, so the third question is, what is the hardest thing to do being blind or visually impaired? This one is really interesting. I mean, there are a lot of difficult things, but then I don't tend to ponder this one very much, because a lot of the things that I find difficult, I find ways to get around them. One thing that is very difficult, near impossible, is driving. I honestly don't think I'll ever drive in my life, but it doesn't really bother me too much. Although I have, and this again is another story for another video, I have actually been on a driving experience before, which was absolutely fascinating. And it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for me, and it's something that I'll always remember and always be very thankful for. I find it quite difficult accessing materials is kind of a difficult one, because although we have such a technology focused world, and you know, it's all about globalization and everything now, and everything's pretty much accessible in a moment, you know, with the click of a button you can pretty much access everything, For me, being blind and visually impaired, and I'm sure for a lot of people on this website, it is quite difficult to access materials, because although you can get a lot of it online, I really struggle when it comes to things like reading lists for my university. So I'm in my third year of university and I'm studying child psychology, and we have a recommended reading list and a compulsory reading list. And the thing that really bugs me, and I have sorted it out, but so we have the hard copies of the books, and then we have ebooks online. We have a library online. And a few of the actual compulsory reading list books weren't available online, and I couldn't read them in the hard copy. And I just, it really bugs me when I can't access something, you know, when, especially when it comes to things like books. I mean, don't get me wrong, and I have so much, so many good things to say about, you know, audiobooks and ebooks. I mean, we're so much further ahead than we were in, say, 30 years or so. But when people are saying, oh, have you read this? And I can't access it in either an ebook or an audiobook, and it just, oh, it really, really frustrates me. But it's a work in progress, and people are getting better at it every day. You know, there's more books being added to things like Audible and Kindle. You know, Kindle's really, really good. If you can't find an audiobook, you can pretty much find most books in the ebook format on Kindle. So the fourth question is, what is the best part of being blind or visually impaired? For me, I think it's a really good platform for me to kind of reach out to people, because I love talking to people and communicating with people, and I really enjoy helping people. So even little things, like, for example, at the end of this degree, I'd like to be a teacher. Things like being a good role model and mentoring and everything like that. And I think it's given me a really good platform and a really good reason to kind of get out there and say, you know, this is who I am. And if there's any help people need, I'll gladly give it to them. And I think it's a really good platform for that. So I think that's probably one of the best things about being blind. Okay, so the fifth question is, what question do you get asked most about or because of your vision? Ooh. Right. I was thinking about this actually earlier on today, because my local radio station, I was reading it on Facebook, my local radio station said, what is a question that you get asked often because of your job or, you know, something like that? And I thought, right, I'm gonna comment on this and say, I didn't actually end up commenting because people probably wouldn't have responded, but on here it's perfect. So when I say that I can see light, I have light perception, people are saying, or if I say I'm totally blind, people say, so you can only see black then? And I say, well, no, because in order to be able to see black, I would have to be able to see colours, and I can't. So no, I don't see black. And that is a question I get asked when I meet new people, when I meet new sighted people. It is pretty much guaranteed to be asked at least sort of once every five people. It's very, very common. And it's so difficult to explain because people just don't seem to understand the concept of actually not being able to see colour. And I totally get that, because if you haven't experienced it, you just don't know. And I think people struggle because they kind of imagine themselves, you know, when people are saying, oh, I'm so sorry that you don't have sight. And I'm like, why? You know, why are you sorry? But I kind of understand it, because people close their eyes and imagine themselves in that situation and imagine all the things that they would really struggle to do, because they kind of imagine it as like, you know, them having sight and then all of a sudden they don't. And that is the case for some people. And I really, really respect people who deal very, very well with that situation. But I think people kind of question their own ability to be able to do things and to be able to function without something that they've had all their life. And for me, because I've been blind all my life, it's not an issue. All right, so six is, do you have a cane, a guide dog, or neither? Okay, so I'm currently in the process of applying for a guide dog, but at the moment I use a white cane. I've used a cane since I was about 5. It's something I go everywhere, you know, I take it everywhere with me. I'm really, really grateful for being able to have it, but I cannot wait to get a guide dog. It's something that I've been wanting to have for a long, long time, and I think it will really boost my independence and my confidence in myself. Okay, so 7 is, what piece of advice would you give to someone who is losing or going to lose or has lost their sight? That's such a difficult one for me because I haven't lost my sight. I've never had it, so it's a difficult one. Although I like to be quite empathetic, I can't really put myself in someone's shoes because I can't comprehend the change. The transformational change that someone must be going through. I have so much respect for people because I don't think I could deal with that. But then again, I don't know because I've not had to kind of deal with that sort of change. But I think I would say, always, as difficult as it is, and you will have days where you just think this is the end, but I think always have hope. Because where there is life, there is hope, as Stephen Hawking said, and it's so, so true, and it's not the end as much as it may seem so, so bleak. Get in touch with people and find someone who's been through something similar, because although we are a minority, there are so many people who are going through something similar. You're never alone, as much as you may feel alone. Everyone, feelings and emotions are universal, and there is someone who has been through something similar to you. And, you know, I think it's really important to reach out to people and for people to reach out to to other people who are going through something similar. And I think it's never give up hope and just reach out if you possibly can. And I think it will really, really help you. Okay, so what piece of advice would you give to a sighted person about interacting with someone who is blind or visually impaired? There is so much I can say about this. I mean, don't get me wrong, I've never had a truly terrible experience. You know, I've not had anything that, like a horror story or anything like that, but there is so much I can say just on a daily basis that people... Because education is so important, because I think ignorance comes from not being educated, so there's so much that I could say, but I think one of the key things is... when you come in contact with someone who is blind or visually impaired, and if they're, say, for example, standing, waiting to cross a road or standing against a wall or something like that, don't grab them and assume that they don't know where they're going and you automatically do. And I'm not saying that's what people do actually assume, but I think when people grab me and say, oh, do you want help, they kind of assume that I actually don't know what I'm doing. And sometimes that's the case. Sometimes, although I know where I'm going, there are barriers to kind of getting there, you know. So, for example, if I'm walking down the street and all of a sudden there's construction going on, it can really disorient me, really disorientate me, and I will need help. But it's how you go about it, and not to just grab and drag someone off, say... You know, for example, ask, can I help you? Do you need any help? And in a lot of cases, either someone will say yes or someone will say no. And if they say no, don't just assume they're being polite. Please, please don't, because it's happened to me in the past where I said, no, thank you, and they still do it. And I'm like, oh, please, please, just leave me alone. Oh, okay, so 9. Why did you join YouTube/blogging? And I can kind of include podcasting in that as well. It's kind of similar kind of answer to the whole thing about what is good about your visual impairment, because I want to get my voice out there, and I want to help and maybe inspire as many people as I can. And I don't want to inspire people just by being, because I think that's another thing that I really struggle with, when people say, oh, you're so inspirational. I'm like, why? Because I'm struggling, because I'm dealing with not having sight. It's really not. I mean, there are so many people, from my point of view anyway, and this is only my opinion, but from I there are so many people out there who deserve that admiration more than me. But I would, if I'm going to do it for a good reason, if I'm actually going to be inspirational for a good reason, I would like to be able to inspire people and just to help people. And you know, it's something, I'd like to do something interesting and kind of reach out to the community. So I think that's pretty much my main reason for joining. 10. Name 3 people to do this tag next. Well, I don't actually know many people actually on this website. I don't know if you have done this tag before, Rick, but if you haven't, you know, go for it if you can. I'm not going to name 3 people, I don't think, because I have 3 people to name, but I don't think they've actually listened to this podcast. So what I'm going to suggest instead is for anyone who is blind or visually impaired and who wants to get their voice out there and who wants to kind of educate people about their condition. And it's not just sighted people either, it's other blind people. You know, we can all learn from each other. And I suggest for anyone who is blind or visually impaired to give this a go, because I think it's really worthwhile. And I really, really hope that someone has listened to this and actually enjoyed it, because honestly, I don't know if someone will, but I'm very, very grateful if you have. It's really, really good to know. If you want to get in contact with me for any reason, you know, if you want to give suggestions for what I can do in the future, because I'm hoping to do more podcasts about product demonstrations, etc. Maybe a few cooking podcasts. You know, there's a lot of different things I can do. But if you have any suggestions or feedback, constructive criticism is absolutely fine. Feel free to send me an email at laurendowney97@gmail.com, and that's LaurenDownie97 at gmail.com. And thank you so much for listening to this. If you have, I'm very, very grateful.